Japan has become one of the most popular destinations for Australian travellers who are intrigued by the traditional culture of the nation. Melbourne writer Steve Wide and his partner Michelle McIntosh, a photographer, have been visiting Japan for many years, and their comprehensive look at hot springs and bathhouses in Japan, called Onsen of Japan, has just been published by Hardy Grant Books. Veronica Matheson chatted to Steve Wide about the hundreds of onsen he's reviewed, often amid stunning landscapes.
Steve, an onsen, how would you describe an onsen for our listeners?
I guess the best way to describe it is like a hot springs pool that is made up of water that comes up from very, very deep underground that you can soak yourself in. It's packed with minerals and trace elements that are very, very good for various health benefits. So it's kind of like a mini pod of wellness.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. How did you discover onsen?
It's an interesting question. I mean, spending a lot of time in Japan, it's hard not to come across them, especially if you're moving out to the more regional or remote areas. I think there's over 2,000, maybe including Sento, which is like a man-made version of an onsen. There might be 3,000 in Japan. So it's very hard not to come across them, and it's an integral part of the Japanese lifestyle. So I think if you're spending a lot of time there, you will come across an onsen in one way or another, and the frontages are usually quite beautiful, so they're hard to miss.
Would you recommend tourists to make sure that they actually do have that onsen experience?
Well, in the course of putting our book together, Onsen of Japan, we had some of the most amazing experiences of our lives. So I would definitely recommend anybody who is going to Japan or even just to Tokyo to seek out an onsen and have that experience. If suffering from the big city blues or anything like that, it's the perfect antidote to that. Mm-hmm. Soaking in hot water with incredible views, with amazing water quality and everything that surrounds that as well. Great food, amazing buildings. The whole thing is just something that you'll absolutely never forget.
And locals, I mean, that's all part of the daily get-together or the weekly get-together of friends, isn't it?
Less so now, but certainly in the past, that's how an onsen really came into being. A lot of people didn't have baths in their houses, or a lot of people were travelling, like going way, way back. The samurai were like on long journeys across the country. They needed somewhere to stay, and these ryokan propped up, which are like a hotel that is very more like a house that you can stay in, where you're cooked for, and then you can take a bath in these like wonderful spaces. Now it went out of favour, and now it's coming back. The kids are getting back into it. There's plenty of old people who are still loving it, particularly retirees. It is something that's almost like a ritual that was kind of, in many ways, born out of necessity, really. People needed to have a bath. So if they didn't have a bath in their house, it became something that they would do in the town where they would all get together. It was a source of gossip, kind of similar maybe to a hairdresser's for us or something like that.
Or even a coffee bar. Today's coffee bars. So tell me, how do locals in, say, remote areas, how do they feel about, say, a traveller taking part in their traditional ritual?
They are totally fine with it and used to it. I've never had a problem. I mean, people maybe don't quite expect to see you, but then when they do, they're interested that you want to share part of their culture. So,
and there is also a code of conduct, isn't there, in an onsen? I gather in some places they don't even like you to have tattoos. Is that right?
Tattoo really a no-no for most places, mostly to do with the fact that tattoos in Japan are kind of linked with criminals from the past, be branded with a tattoo if you committed a crime, and it kind of goes right back to that. And then Yakuza in Japan, the kind of Japanese mafia, they will have tattoos covering most of their body. I've been in quite a few onsens where people have full body tattoos, so you can kind of work out that most of the time that they're yakuza from that.
Yeah.
But most places don't allow tattoos. But if you have a small one, you can usually cover it up and get away with it. We do list in the book places that you can go, and some of them are very spectacular, so you won't be missing out completely. In terms of onsen, there's rituals that you have to observe, which we go through in the book in quite a lot of detail. There's little nuances between each one, but essentially it's the same kind of thing where you go in and wash yourself at the shower station before you get into the water, that kind of thing. Also, you'll find, particularly in the cities these days, that there'll be most rules and regulations will mostly be put up on the wall.
Sort of onsens, they virtually cross social boundaries because everyone is equal, aren't they, when you're... nobody's wearing anything, are they?
So
everybody's naked.
It is the great equaliser. Like bosses, workers, anyone who might wear a uniform, or anyone who dresses, you know, is rich and maybe dresses really well or something like that. I mean, all of that really goes out the window when everybody's got no clothes. So I do look at it to some extent as being the great equaliser, and I think the Japanese see it that way as well. Well, I think they work very hard. There's a work ethic in Japan that means that they need really major ways to relax. And so you've got the karaoke and izakaya and things like that, but the onsen's part of that whole regime of total bodily well-being and relaxation.
And men and women, do they have separate quarters or sometimes is it mixed?
Nearly always it will be gender separate. And particularly in the cities now, for instance, in Tokyo, they used to have mixed onsen, but now they're illegal. So you'll rarely find mixed onsen, but they'll be further out. There's still some that exist. On several occasions, I have found myself in an onsen, a mixed onsen where everybody's naked, and it's just kind of a, how can I describe it, spiritual experience almost, rather than anything dodgy. So anyone who's worried about that, I wouldn't worry too much, because you won't find it that much, but if you do, it'll be in a very respectful environment.
What would be your advice for a traveller who is going to an onsen, probably in a remoter area?
You're going to have one of the greatest experiences of your life. There's not much really that you have to worry about. Beautiful surroundings, mountains or sea. I mean, we've been in onsens that overlook Mount Fuji, or onsens that are on top of a really tall building that's just a huge onsen that overlooks the town, and the steam rolls off the water into the town. Onsens in the middle of the forest. They're just unforgettable experiences. We've been in an onsen like that's carved out of rock by the seaside, and it's full of hot seawater that bubbles up, you know, through the fissures in the rock. If you're going out there, most of them have ryokan attached to them, so book yourself into one of these places, get involved, like partake in the amazing meals that they cook, and go for walks and hikes and soak yourself in the onsen. That's the best advice that I can give.
How long did it take you to put together this book, you and that's your partner, Michelle?
Probably a year, but we had already been going to onsens before that, so we already had photographs and experience. So, I mean, it could have been spread over 3 years, but it is a very heavily researched book, that's for sure. I wanted it to be as detailed as possible, particularly in terms of how you approach an onsen, because there's a lot of stuff online, you know, anyone can look that up, but I wanted to go into more detail because there are various nuances about, you know, different onsens and how you onsen properly and the experiences that you can have around that. So I don't think there's really a book quite like it out there at the moment.
It's actually quite beautiful to look at.
Yeah, Michelle's taken most of the photographs and she's an amazing photographer and she's designed the whole book. So as well as helping me with the writing, she's done all of the visual side of things. Yeah, I think it's come out really well. I love the look of it.
How did you discover Japan? Did you go there for a holiday initially?
Yeah, probably been going there for 20 years or so. Tokyo came onto our radar and flights there were from Australia were not as expensive as we had been going to Europe a lot or America. So we thought, we'll give it a try. Tokyo was kind of back then, almost an untapped source. Some people were going, but there wasn't a lot of English and it was completely different to anything else. And it was an Asian country, but very different to the ones that, like, you know, Bali or Thailand or whatever, where Australians would mostly go, much more like, more developed. And with such an extraordinary sense of history, like the new and the old were astounding, the way they sat next to each other.
Yeah.
And we were hooked from the first time we went.
And as you
say,
quite
perfect for us, the pop culture, the high culture, the low culture, the history, the food, the drinks. I mean, the beer is unbelievable over there.
No doubt you speak Japanese now, do you?
I'm learning Japanese at RMIT. I'm doing a degree in Japanese there at the moment. So I've picked up a lot of things along the way. I'm still very rusty, but I decided that I had to get better. So going for it in a serious way.
Thank you so much for your time. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
A pleasure. Thank you.
And that was Steve White speaking with Veronica Matheson on the Japanese bathing ritual onsen.